are so glad that you are listening to the Mission Point Community Church podcast. It's our prayer that this helps you grow in your relationship with Jesus and encourages you to show and share the love of Jesus everywhere you go. Thanks for tuning in. Now let's dive into the message.
Hey, it is great to be with you. My name is Scott, and I get to serve as the interim teaching pastor here. It's just great to be with you. If you are joining us for the very first time, welcome. So glad that you are here. You've actually landed on a great week. You're going to tolerate me for about 20 minutes, and then you really get to see what you came to see, which is people getting baptized and declaring their faith and their allegiance to Christ as their Savior. So it's great to be with you. I said you've come on a great day. Baptism, certainly, but we're also wrapping up a series today that we've been in for several weeks. I'll bring you up to speed real quick. It's in case you weren't here, but this message is really going to hang by itself. But we do need to review where we've come from, because we've been talking about this idea of stories, and it's right up there on the screen, right? So three stories, living a life that speaks. So before we even get started, we'll level the playing field. Turn to someone next to you and say, you have a story. Do it. Ready, set, go. Okay. And then look right back at them and say, you do too. You do too. Like, yeah, we all, yes. That's the whole point of this, is that we all have a story, every single one of us. And so the reason why we say this is three stories, here's what we've been talking about. You just acknowledged the first story is this, that we all have a story. And at some point, a lot of you are here because somewhere, sometime, someplace, your story connected to God's story, okay? For a lot of you, that's been your experience. Not everyone here, but for a lot of you, that's been your experience, that some place, sometime, a church camp, a Christian concert, alone with God's word, somewhere, you know, with your parents, Bible school, at an event, alone, you know, with another friend who shared their faith with you, that your story was connected to God's story. So it's those two stories, but this is three stories, three stories. The third story that we're talking about is that everywhere we go, we sit with people, we run into people, we live, learn, work, and play with people that also have a story. And so as we walk along the road with them, as we hang out with them, as we go to school with them, we realize that our story and their story is connected. And so we connect our story and we do life with them and we learn a lot about them and we learn more about their story. And then at some point we recognize that maybe their story has never been connected to God's story. So the hope is through our story connecting with their story, we can connect their story to God's story. I'm not real complex. That's pretty simple, right? That's what we've been looking at for the last several weeks. And we've looked at these stories in God's word that put that on display. And it's been so fun to see those stories unfold. So we're just going to kind of try to wrap that up today. And then what we get to see, and this is so cool, it's why you're here. Then what we get to see is we get to see people sharing their story. We get to see people telling pieces of their story and saying, yeah, I'm in. My story is connected to God's story, and they won't be able to hide it. They'll look like a wet dog when they come out of the water, and it's like there's no hiding their story and what they're saying. So today, let's kind of wrap this up and let's finish this up. We're going to go in God's word. We're going to be in the back half. We're going to 2 Corinthians is where we're headed. So if you look in your Bible, it's about that far through. We're in the New Testament. This guy named Paul writes a bunch of the New Testament, and he writes this letter to the church at Corinth. That's why they call it 2 Corinthians. He wrote several letters to them, and this is the second one that he wrote. So to bring us up to speed, here's what has happened. Paul has been on this missionary journey, and he's planting these churches, and then Paul goes, like he shares with them, and then he leaves, and then some other people come back behind, and they're kind of saying a similar message, but a different message. And Paul's writing this letter in 2 Corinthians to remind people of the true teaching that he brought to them, because there's some other people trying to pull them backwards. And they're saying, yeah, he's talking about grace, but we want to bring you back into this idea of law. And what Paul is doing is, this is an apostolic letter. It's a big fancy word. I love the word apostle. It just simply means one who is sent. So Paul is this apostle who is sent all over the region, and he's gone to Corinth, and now he's writing them this letter. And let me just tee you up a little bit. All of us have been sent somewhere. Think about where you live, learn, work, and play. Those are places that you have been sent. So our story collides with Paul's story here a little bit, because Paul is one who was sent. We all have been sent to particular places. And so now let's dig into this letter that Paul's talking about. So we're going to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Before I jump into chapter 3, I'm going to back into 2 Corinthians 2 just a little bit to give some context of what was going on. So Paul was sent to this area, and here's what he says in chapter 2, verse 12. It's not going to be on the screen. You're just going to kind of follow along with me for a second. He said, now when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened a door for me, I still had no peace of mind. Wait, time out. Paul was sent to this place, to Troas, by God himself on this journey. And then Paul gets no peace of mind. He's like, it just wasn't working out the way I thought it was going to. And then tells us why. He said, because I didn't find my brother Titus there. Pause. Any of you ever have a plan that you think God wants you to do and you start going down that direction and everything feels right? I know this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I feel like this is the way I should be going. I feel like this is what I should be doing. I feel like this is what God wants me to do. And it doesn't work out the way you thought it was going to. Pause for a big sigh. I've got a long list of those. I thought it was going to look like this. I thought it was going to be like this. I was sure that this was what God wants, and I was sure it was going to go this direction. It didn't work out. I didn't have the peace of mind because it didn't work out the way I thought it was going to. I'm on my 17th career, I think, in a matter of months. Like, it just feels that way. I thought it was going to go a certain way. And God has just a great sense of humor. We say this in our house all the time. He's a really good story writer. He gets me going on a chapter and I'm like, got it. And I just write out the rest of the chapter because I think I know what he's going to do. That's what Paul finds himself in. He's like, I went to Troas and I knew that was what God wanted me to do. And I get there and my buddy's not there. Like, I can't find Titus. I don't know what's going on. So here's what I do. I said goodbye to them and I went on to Macedonia. And then I love Paul's shift in perspective in verse 14. It says this, but thanks be to God who always leads us, in triumphal procession in Christ and through us. Listen, you got to listen to this part. And through us, here's what he does, spreads everywhere the fragrance and the knowledge of him. Paul is saying, I had a plan. I thought this was what God wanted. It didn't work out. I couldn't find Titus. And, you know, I don't know where he is. I don't know what's going on. But thanks be to God, because something happened in Paul's journey that along the way, he realized that he had the opportunity to be the fragrance of Christ. So much so that he coins this phrase, and we've used it in a lot of Christian contexts, and you'll see this is a great verse. He says, for we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. So look at that same person that you said, hey, you have a story. Look at them and say, you have an odor. Do that. Go. You have an odor. Yeah. Some of you just went, mm-hmm. Yeah, you look right back at him and go, you do too. Like, you do too. So here's the thing. We all have an odor, right? This is, picture that, like that cartoony, you know, when a cartoon is walking and you see the smell, like the little lines or whatever coming behind them, or Pigpen got the little cloud, right? Paul is saying that we are, everywhere we go, we are shedding and being the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are being deceived. Paul's encouraging us and reminding us that we don't have to put our profile on social media to share our story, because everywhere we go, we're already sharing it. Paul invented social media right here. Everywhere you go socially, you're making a statement. You're making a post. And here's the funny thing. It's accurate. You don't edit it. You don't get to polish it and put a filter on it. Everywhere we go, we're telling a story. We are the aroma of Christ everywhere we go. That's just a warm up. We haven't even gotten into the message yet. That's just a precursor to this whole thing. But I love the metaphor that he picks out there. He was like, we're the aroma of Christ. We all stink at some level, right? We all have a smell. And everyone around us smells it. So what are they smelling? Don't answer that out loud. All right, so we're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 because there's this setup. So Paul's saying, there was a plan I thought was going to work out like this and it didn't exactly work out like this. But I was just reminded that everywhere I go, regardless of whether the plan works out or not, I have an opportunity to tell God's story. So now he takes on this challenge in chapter 3 because some people are saying, hey, Paul, I don't think, we're not sure about your message. Because there was this tradition at the time that if you rolled into town to share this gospel message or to share a message that was really big to a lot of people, you had to have papers and credentials telling who you were. You had to have evidence that you could back up what you were saying. And so now they're starting to challenge Paul. They're like, yeah, Paul, we know you were here and you did some good stuff, but these other guys came along and they're saying this. So Paul, what letters do you have? You got any letters or anything that you can show us? You have a certificate, anything? Did you go to, like Phoenix University online or something? Do you have anything that you can show us, Paul, as evidence of who you are and God's work and that this stuff is true? So Paul answers this. And he starts with a question. He says, are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Are you asking for this? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? He's asking. He's like, really? We're going to do this? We're going to do the letter thing? And then Paul just goes smack down on these guys. Makes it so simple. He says this. Now we can go on the screens. Verse 2. You are our letter. You wanted a letter of recommendation? You wanted a certificate? You wanted a badge to prove? You're the letter. The way that you live and what you do, you're the letter that everyone else is going to read. He says, you're the letter written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. And you show that you're a letter from Christ. Here's what he then tells them. He says, you show that you're a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. You see, what the Jews had up until then, up until Jesus, was they had the Ten Commandments. Sorry, that was me protecting your ears. What they had was the Ten Commandments, God's laws written on stone tablets. What Paul's doing is he's saying, the Spirit of God now lives in you. So that law, that held you captive. But now the Spirit lives in you. And since the Spirit of God lives in you, when you accepted Christ as your Savior, since the Spirit of God lives in you, what comes out of you is grace. You were once being held back by these laws that no one, by the way, could accomplish and no one could keep. Instead, he flips it and he says, you're the letter and the Holy Spirit has written on your heart and it now comes out of you everywhere you go. I'm going to take just a little stretch here and say this. What Paul was saying is that you bear a story in you now. You now bear a story written by the Holy Spirit that has saved you, redeemed you, restored you, given you new life. And his story lives in you and comes out of you. This message series was never intended to teach you how to share a story. We're gonna talk about that later at another time. This was to remind us that everywhere we go, we are sharing some story. Which means if we're gonna post something on Facebook, it better be in alignment with our story. It means if we're gonna like something on social media, it better align with our story and what's written on our heart. I love how Dave Ramsey says it. If you're gonna put a fish on it, you better drive it right. Think about that. You're telling a story. This is who I am. And then what do people see where we live, learn, work, and play? Does our story align with our actions? Paul was saying, everywhere you go, you're sharing that story. I used to struggle because I have a background in advertising and marketing. That's part of what I went to college for. And I was talking to a guy it was probably 10 years ago. It was at my church in Fort Wayne. And I said to him, I said, it's just weird sometimes. I feel like I'm just marketing Jesus and I'm just peddling Jesus. Like, and I don't know what to do about that because there's a part of that just feels strange that I'm like I'm a marketing, you know, agent for Jesus. And he sat there and he was much smarter, much wiser than me. And he just shook his head. And I was like, I can tell that was dumb that I said, so just tell me, just like, give it to me. He just reminded me. He said, you're not marketing Jesus. Everywhere you go, you're revealing who he is by what you say and what you do. Jesus does not need an advertising agency. He doesn't need marketing. He's got it, you guys. He can figure that out. What he needs is people who will just go everywhere and reveal him to others. Let's go on. Verse 4, he says this. He says, such confidence we have through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. There's two things that he brings up here. He brings up confidence and competence. Confidence and competence. Those are the two things he brings up. And I got to tell you, if I were to just like stand up here and talk about all the times where I have dropped the ball on sharing my faith, it has never once come from competence. Competence is the story that I have. This is what God did in my life. He saved me. I have the story. Do I have all of the texts memorized? No, I don't need to, because what I have is the evidence of what he's already done. I can tell you who I was before and who I am now. I have the competence. What I often lack is the confidence. I don't know. What's that person going to think when I say this? And, you know, what are they going to do? And how are they going to respond? And, you know, man, I don't know. Do they have time? And, you know, this is just going to be weird. And, you know, we're going to be sitting at the ball game. And what if I share that in the second inning? And then we have to sit there for another, you know, 7 innings. And then what if it goes to extra innings? And now it's just weird. Like, and I'd talk myself out of it. And I make it way too complex. Look at the stories that we've shared in this series already. There's the guy who's in the chariot, and the Holy Spirit leads this guy to come up beside him in the chariot and just told him, just ask him a question. Hey, what are you reading? Do you understand what you're reading? And the guy's running alongside the chariot. He's like, no, I don't. You want to ride in the chariot? Yes, I do. I'm out of breath, right? He both gets a chariot ride and an opportunity to share his faith and explain this to this other guy. Another story we looked at, Jesus runs into a guy naked in a graveyard. It's a crazy story. You need to go back and read that one. If you're like, I've never been to church and he's talking about naked people in cemeteries. Yes, it's not my story. It's not my story, but it's in here, okay? And Jesus walks up to the guy. There's 1,000 questions Jesus could have asked. Where are your clothes? Why are you talking like that? And Jesus just walks up. And if you weren't here, I love this. I want to see if everybody remember, if a lot of people remember this. What's the one question that he asked the guy? What was it? What's your name? It's not that hard of a question. Hey, what's your name? Tell me your story. Tell me why you don't have clothes on, right? Like, what's your story? We make it so complex. And yet, it's easy. Easy, but it requires our confidence. My confidence is regularly rocked. Regularly rocked. I disclosed early in the series that I got an F in preaching in seminary, mostly because I was rebellious and, you know, I was kind of a smart aleck and dropped out of the class. And I didn't complete seminary. I spent a lot of money to not finish my degree. I believe in education. I think it's important. But my confidence is regularly dinged. Because when I study God's word, when I read God's word, especially when I'm preparing for a message, my confidence just goes, just kind of falls down a little bit because I'm like, oh man, there's people a lot smarter than me and there's people that have been doing this longer than me and I know there's gonna be really smart people in the audience and you know, I don't know. And so I keep this postcard in my Bible. Here's a picture of the card, put it up on the screen. This postcard came from the lounge, the study lounge at Anderson University, which is where I didn't get my degree from, but they got a lot of money out of me. And I was wrestling with this whole thing one day, and a buddy of mine who I was working for, he was like, why didn't you finish? And I was like, I don't know. And he was like, no, really, why didn't you? I was like, I don't know. And he said, here's what I want you to do. He said, I want you to take the day. I want you to go down there, and I just want you to spend the whole day down there. I want you to walk around, pray, just seek the Lord and find out if you need to go back, if you need to finish, find out what that's all about. And I was like, okay, fine, I'll go. And so I take the day off, I drive down there and I roll up to this building, the basement of this building on this postcard. This is where I took all my classes. And when I opened the door, I can tell you, like the big giant handle on the door, I remember opening the door. And as the door opened, I remembered the smell of the lounge and the books and I remember the smell like it was yesterday. It hit me. And in that moment, it took me back like 6 or 7 years to when I didn't finish my degree. Because here's what I would do. I would sit in class and I had a big notebook. And when people in class would use a word that I didn't know, I would write down that word in the margin so I could go look it up later. There was a day, this is like, sometimes I exaggerate up here, surprise. And there was a day though, I'm telling you, this is real, that I had filled the margin of my paper completely with words that I did not know. And I had only taken like 3 lines of notes on the other side. And so I go to the lounge later that day and I'm sitting in the lounge and I've got another book open and I'm looking these words up and writing down the definitions of words that I didn't know. And as I sat in the lounge, all these other guys that I was in class with come in and they start discussing together and laughing and having fun, talking, using the words that I didn't know. And I closed my binder, walked out the door, and quit seminary. Because it was just eroding my confidence. It was killing me. So when this guy says, go back and spend the day there, I'm like, are you kidding me? I open the door, the smell hits me. All of those emotions come flooding in. I'm pacing around this lobby. There's nobody there. I must have been fall break or something. There's nobody there. I'm like pacing around, like my blood pressure's up through the roof, right? And I stumble across this postcard sitting on the table. And I pick up this postcard and I was like, yep, that's the building, that's the room, there it was. And then I decide to read this little verse on the bottom. I will give you pastors according to my heart. And I read it again, and I read it again. As I sat there that day, I realized my confidence I'd placed in the wrong place. I thought my confidence came from the professor that walked around and gave me the grade and then the paper and the degree and the stuff and the accolades and all of the tassels and the hat and all of that. And I realized the truth of this text. I will give you pastors according to my heart. And all of a sudden, my confidence began to come back. And the Lord was saying, I've given you a story. I've given you a gift. I've given you power. I've given you abilities and opportunities and experiences. Just share what I ask you to share when I ask you to share it. Just walk up next to the chariot and say, hey, got any questions about what you're reading? Just walk up to people and go, hey, what's your name? Remember the blind guy, the story we read? Just walk up to somebody and go, hey, you, I know you can't see, but this guy over here wants to talk to you. He's calling you. Just do that. And when I realized that, My confidence is no longer in me. It's in him. If confidence is your issue, let that be an encouragement to you. That being said, I'm not poo-pooing education and higher education. I seriously, I'm envious sometimes of those folks. I think it's great. But I said this in the first service, but you know what? I worked on a farm when I was a kid. I drove a car before I had my license. I didn't need somebody to give me a license to be able to drive a car. 12-year-olds in here, do not go drive a car. It's an illustration. Are you a better driver once you've been through driver's training and have your license? The answer is yes. Are you more equipped? Yes. Is it legal? Yes. But do I need it? No. That's a tricky metaphor. Just hang with me and enjoy the baptisms, okay? Our confidence should not come from others. Our confidence should come from him. Let me wrap up. Paul ends 2 Corinthians with this. It says, he has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the spirit. For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. That's in verse 6. There's two tracks for this verse. Number one, we have to look at the Bible always in through kind of three windows. The first time it was spoken, the all-time principle, and then the my time, the personal, what does it mean to me? The first time principle here, the first time when Paul said this, he was speaking about he and his buddies. So remember, they're all wanting letters of commendation and recommendation. Here's what Paul says. Look, he says, he's made us competent as ministers of the new covenant. He's like, me and these guys right here, like we are on a mission. We're the Blues Brothers. We're on a mission from God. Like God has given us this mission. So we are set. That happened the first time. That was the first time. There is a principle that is all time for all of us. Later in the Bible, we read this. We are a chosen people. A chosen people, a royal priesthood. Oh, wait, I thought you had to finish seminary and get all your degrees and your letters and your commendations. No, no, no. What we see in the text is called the priesthood of believers. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, given a mission to declare him. So when we read this, that did happen the first time. Paul says he's made us competent as ministers of a new covenant. But there is a universal truth. If we have been given a story and our story has been connected to God's story and our story has been changed forever, hear me. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior today, yesterday, 10 years ago, 100 years ago, he is calling us and made us competent as ministers of a new covenant. We are story sharers. That's who we are. As believers, our job is to share that story. Let's not make it too difficult. That being said, we don't need letters of recommendation and that, but sometimes we do need training. Sometimes we do need driver's ed. Sometimes we do need other people to give us wisdom and share how to do that. Just tag this somewhere for you. There's an event that we're doing in February because you know this is important. Showing and sharing the love of Jesus is central to us as a church. And so there is an event, the Go and Tell event that we're doing. Rick is leading this charge. I'm excited about this because if our confidence is rattled, this is just more information, more tools, and more ways to help us do that. We don't need it, so don't wait until February. I can't share my faith until February. No, that's stupid. You could share your faith now, but we're just gonna be equipped with some more tools in February. So tag that date, save the date for that. You'll hear more about that later in the year. But regardless, we are story sharers. All right, I'm done because we gotta get to the good stuff. You guys, I'm so glad that you're here. Here's what's about ready to happen. I'm gonna pray and then we're gonna finish this. But this is the biggest, coolest illustration that I can share today. The driver's ed thing, kind of squishy, right? My seminary story, it's all right, but it's not as good as what you're about ready to see. These people sharing their story, they can't hide it. They're coming up out of the water wet. You can't hide that. They're sharing their story, and that's what we get to see. And when that happens, Rick's gonna tell you this already, but when that happens, y'all, we're going nuts, okay? Like, you're not gonna hear it because you're gonna be up here in those lights. You're like, wow, what's happening? But we're just gonna like cheer you on because you're sharing your story. Thank you, because you share your story. That gives us courage to share our story. That's what that does. There's a whole lot of spaces in the Bible that talks about that. That as you do that, those of us that are following Jesus, like we smile and go, oh, that's right. I remember my baptism. I remember that. And I want to share my story. So thank you for sharing your story with us today. And you all, you have one job over the next 22 minutes. And that's to cheer like freaks. Okay. So let me pray. I'm done so Rick can talk. God, thank you. Thank you for changing our story, for altering our story, Lord, for jumping in and changing our story. Lord, I pray that as we observe these other stories that have been changed, Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, that you would move us, and you would remind us that we have not just an opportunity, we have the privilege and we have the expectation to share our story and how you've changed our story with others who need you. We love you. It's in your name I pray. Amen.
Thanks so much for tuning in to today's message. We would love to personally invite you to one of our Sunday services at 9 or 10:45 a.m. in the Performing Arts Center at Warsaw Community High School at 1 Tiger Lane in Warsaw, Indiana. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please make sure to subscribe and connect with us on social media by following Mission Point CC. You can also contribute to what God is doing through Mission Point. Simply visit missionpoint.net/give and give a gift today. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great week.